As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, and the sun is arising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove all around America, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Tuesday, May the 12th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Have a little website, vocallocal.org, you might want to visit today. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And interactive talk radio is the name of the game. And to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone, call in through the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 and join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, E-X-E-T-E-R, Missouri, the Big Mo, 65647. Here's a big shout out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Micro 1650 AM in Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. You might also look into freedomadvocates.org. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. The gold cartel allows gold to rise into the $920 region. All the markets and the currencies are rising. We'll talk about that. History, anthropology, anarchism, world civilizations, the Hebrews to the Hittites. We'll go there. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go to those market reports for Tuesday, May the 12th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago. Gold was up $7.20 an ounce, trading at $920.50. Silver was up a quarter at $14.19. Platinum up $14. Everybody's up today, folks. Platinum up $14 at $1,129. Palladium up, palladium is flat. No change at all, $234 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down yesterday, 155.88 points, trading at 8,418.77. The NASDAQ was off 7.76 points, trading at the 1,731 range. The S&P off to basically 20 points, trading at 909.24 points. The USDX dollar index is down. There's the indicator that's given us a little bit of relief. The USDX down at 82.16, it's pretty low. We're going to talk about that. The crude oil up $1.42. There's no blessing in that, is there? $1.42 up for $59.92 for a barrel of light sweet crude. The lows and the highs in the spot market so far in the morning: 9.11.20 for a low, 9.24 for the high, $35.20 year-to-year gain for 3.9% return on investment. And the London price fix this morning was set at $920, and I'm sure that's where the gold is going to stay today. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again here on our Tuesday, May the 12th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Getting started here, come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. In the first segment, went into the market reports for today. We find gold up $7.20 an ounce, trading at $920.50. Silver up a quarter at $14.19. Platinum up 14 bucks, trading at 1,129. The gold fix for today is at 920. If you haven't been paying attention to the gold fix, the London gold fix happens twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. The gold fix for the morning is $920, and miraculously, gold is standing at $920.50. So, you know, the guys behind the curtain, they pull the strings, and then everybody else just flails along behind. We've got the foreign exchange. Let's look at that. The foreign exchange rate, this basket of currencies. Little Timmy out there tiptoeing through the tulips with his basket of currencies. The Canadian dollar trading at 86 cents. All the currencies are up today. Mexican peso trading at 8 cents. The euro, $1.37 U.S. The British pound, $1.53 U.S. The Swiss franc running about 91 cents U.S. So, that's all of that. The spot market is going to close in about 7 hours, so we'll see where it goes today. You know, it's all pretty manipulated, so we just kind of watch it and see what happens. Here's a little bit of information off of the Reuters. Dollar hits a four-month low as the risk rally resumes on oils and stocks. The London, May the 12th, the dollar's broad-based value against a basket of currencies fell on Tuesday to a four-month low. And the euro rose to a seven-week high as optimism, the worst of the economic crisis is over, boosted oil and share prices. Well, we can see the share prices are not so boosted, are they? Anyway, these writers get paid by the word, I'm sure of that. British data showed a slowdown in the pace of manufacturing. The decline was the latest economic indicator to bolster the bullish view that the global economy, oh my, this is the worst written sentence I think I've read in a month, intensifying the dollar's weak technical backdrop. It says absolutely nothing, just goes around with some commas and whatnot. The dollar index fell to a four-month low of 82.271, but we see that it's right now a little lower than that. Down 0.7% on the day, while the euro rose about 0.7% to $1.37, and I've got that, so they're accurate there, a level not seen since March the 23rd. Crude oil futures were up almost 2% at a new six-month high of 59.64, and we're a little higher than that now at 59.92. European stocks were last up about 0.6%, or a little over half a percent. Another article off of Reuters, this one, European stocks rise and the oil hits 2009 highs. A little bit of the same material, but a little bit new, too. Again, London, Reuters, Natsuko Waki, the author. European stocks edged higher while world stocks came off an earlier low and oil hit its highest level in almost 6 months on Tuesday as expectations grew. The worst might be over for the global economy. Expectations grew that the worst might be over for the global economy. Can you believe that? Trillions and trillions and trillions thrown into circulation here, and they're thinking that the worst is over. Wait till the inflation kicks in about 2 months, huh? I think that's going to happen. Energy stocks led the gains in Europe after a day after leading central bankers said the economy is about to turn the corner. Yeah, it's going to turn the corner, all right. Buckle up and sit down. With world stocks racing to their highest since November on Monday. Watch those stocks collapse. Just about time the inflation kicks in. Data showing bigger than expected falls in China's exports and India's industrial output had initially made investors cautious about buying into a near 40% rally in world stocks since March, prompting consolidation in Asian stocks. You know, if the IMF and the World Bank and the Bilderbergers weren't all in there throwing trillions and trillions of monies into this system, we might be able to look at these various and sundry markets and make sense out of them. But like I've said before, in a roulette game, you just have to put your hand under the table and try and find the magnet. But in the quote-unquote, in the bigger picture, not much has changed. The green shoots still have roots, close quote, said Maurice Pomeroy, the managing director of Strategic Alpha in London. You remember this green shoots philosophy. Miss Alan Greenspan, I think, said that, or was it Volcker, or was it Geithner? I can't remember who it was that came up with this idea of the green shoots, but we're still faced with it. But dropping down a bit further, the index is now up 4.6% since the start of the year, thanks to a record monthly gain of more than 11% in April. Here's a quote. We needed to pinch ourselves. We had a massive rally in the last 2 months, but the economy is more like an oil tanker. It takes time to turn around, close quote, said David Buke, senior partner at the BGC Partners. Leading central bankers, including European Central Bank Jean-Claude Trichet, said on Monday, growth has already picked up in some countries and authorities should have exit strategies to avoid inflation risks after embarking on unorthodox easing policies. That's that old creative easing policies. All of these new economic terms are being created while we report on them day by day. Here's another quote. The market has come to a turning point in terms of both technical moves and fundamentals. Stocks and cross yen have risen, helped by a view that the economic deterioration is slowing. Of course, if you listen to other economists and advisors, you'll find that everybody's kind of looking very carefully into the closet with a flashlight because they know it's in there. They're just not sure what it is. But again, fundamentals are still weak, so the market is expected to show more vulnerability to the weak side of the economy as it has excessively priced in the positive side of it and so on and so forth. Reuters out of London this morning. Here's another one. This off Bloomberg, Bob Willis, pretty good author. U.S. trade deficit widens for the first time in 8 months. listen to this trade deficit news. The U.S. trade deficit widened in March for the first time in 8 months as the global economic slump pushed exports to the lowest level in more than 2 years. This is something to pinch ourselves over? I don't think so. Get a grip. The gap expanded 5.5% to 27.6 billion, smaller than forecast, from a 9-year low of 26.1 billion in February. Commerce Department figures showed today in Washington, and you know the Commerce Department figures often figure wrong. Imports also decreased as a drop in demand for industrial supplies such as natural gas and steel offset an increase in oil. The report signals that most of the improvement in the U.S. trade deficit may already be over as fuel costs climb and stimulus programs resuscitate American consumers' demand. I'm going to ask you, have the stimulus programs resuscitated your consumer demand or not? I certainly am not being overwhelmed by consumer demand as I look at my checkbook at the end of each month. I can tell you that. Rising imports and a bigger trade gap would hurt economic growth, blunting some of the benefit from a rebound in exports that companies such as Caterpillar Inc. are beginning to detect. I suppose the Israelis are not buying as many Caterpillar tractors now that they're done stripping Gaza. The sharp narrowing trend seen in the last several months appears to be leveling off. Chris Rupke, the chief financial economist at the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi UFJ Limited in New York, said before the report, as American consumers come back, that will widen the trade deficit and ensure the positive effect. Well, we'll see if those consumers come back. We'll come back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic food,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Oh, yes, and we're back again to complain of the age we live in, to murmur at the present possessors of power, to lament the past, to conceive extravagant hopes of the future. All these are the common dispositions of the greatest part of mankind, wrote Edmund Burke some time ago. Those who have been intoxicated once with power and have derived any kind of emolument from it, even though but for a year, can never willingly abandon it. Yes, indeed, sometimes we have to learn from the past. Dropping down a little bit further here in this article off of Bloomberg this time, the economists forecast the trade gap was projected to widen to $29 billion according to the median forecast in a Bloomberg News survey of 65 economists. Deficit projections range from $23 billion to $32.5 billion. I'll tell you what, you make those kind of mistakes in your checkbook, folks, you're going to be broke in a hurry. That's a large gap. Exports declined 2.4% to $123.6 billion, the fewest since August of 2006. The drop was led by decreasing foreign purchases of automobiles and capital goods, such as commercial aircraft and telecommunications equipment. And we keep asking, as the American consumers come back, that will widen the trade deficit and erase the positive effect on the economy. As American consumers come back, where are the jobs going to come from to take care of the 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 new unemployment signees that we keep hearing about on a monthly basis? How are these American consumers going to come back? They can't even afford to drive into town anymore. My goodness, these people don't read the news. They just write the news. Boeing company last week sustained 25 cancellations of its delayed 787 Dreamliner worth $4.4 billion. Cancellations in the first 4 months of the year now total 59 versus 58 purchases. That means they must be one in the hole. According to data published on May the 7th on the Chicago-based company's website. Boeing used to be based in Seattle, by the way. Now they're based in Chicago, I guess. They were doing a lot better when they were out there on the in the red hangar. Let's continue. Intel Corporation, the world's biggest chip maker, on April the 14th, said the first quarter profit fell 55% because of slowing computer demand and signaled sales won't recover in the current period. I guess the little tippy-tappies are kind of going to the bottom of the things of the list of things to buy, and bread seems to be edging ever higher. Intel's business, Europe, Japan, and the emerging markets show continuing weakness. Chief Executive Officer Paul Otellini said in a statement, still, there are signs that the worst may be over. Again, Caterpillar, the world's largest maker of bulldozers and excavators, is among companies already noticing an improvement in sales to China due to that country's $586 billion stimulus package, said Chief Executive Officer James Owens. We notice the intellect of the Chinese. They buy durable goods like Caterpillar tractors, bulldozers, track loaders, and excavators. And the Americans buy the cheap plastic crap. Go figure. March and April were pretty strong months for sales in China, Owens said on April the 21st in a conference call with analysts. China's stimulus spending for public works projects is working more quickly than in the U.S. When they say shovel ready, they mean 9 weeks, not 9 months, he said. So I guess they're going to do a little bit of infrastructure building over in China while Barry the Usurper and the boys try and figure out what color beige we should use. The trade gap with China increased to $15.6 billion from $14.2 billion in the month prior. Again, in imports from China overshadowed an increase in Chinese demand for American-made goods that pushed U.S. exports to the highest level since October. Chinese investment. China Today reported that business investment surged 31% in the first 4 months of the year compared to 2008. Business investment surged 31% in the first 4 months. Baby, they're moving. The gain helped offset a 23% drop in April exports from the same months last year. A report from the Institute for Supply Management this month showed factory exports fell in April at a slower pace. The group's index of sales overseas climbed to the highest level since September, a month before the slump began. After eliminating the influence of prices, which are the number used to calculate gross domestic product, the trade deficit grew to $35.9 billion from $35.7. You see, it just keeps going up and up and up. Just depends on how you sharpen your pencil, folks. The Commerce Department estimated a much larger increase when calculating first quarter gross domestic product, indication that the slump in growth may be revised down. Preliminary reportage last month showed the economy shrank at 6.1% annual. All this gloom and doom, huh? Here's a gain in autos. The overall drop in demand for foreign goods overshadowed the first increase in automobile, imports, since June. That's the way to solve the American business problem, isn't it? Bail out our own automakers and import more from overseas. And the first gain in demand for foreign-made consumer goods since October. That reflect a stabilizing in retail sales. The imported petroleum bill also grew as prices climbed. The average cost of a barrel of crude rose from $41.36 in March, from $39.22 a month earlier, and as we see here in May at $59.92. Going up, get on the escalator, get ready, the summer driving season is here, time to have all the farmers out in the field making hay, so let's go ahead and jack up the price of gasoline and hose the people. An improvement in trade may come too late to prop up global growth. The world economy may shrink 1.3% this year. This shrinking world that we live on. The first contraction in the post-war era and trade worldwide may plunge 11% according to forecasts made by the International Monetary Scheme Fund. Anyway, that's the financial news for today. We'll just have to deal with it. It's going to get interesting, and it's going to get much interesting. You know, this book we've been working out of, going through this study on anarchism, it was just a book that flew into my hands for 40 cents at a flea market. Again, it's titled Edward McNall. It was written by Edward McNall Burns, and that McNall is M-C, capital N-A-L-L, Burns, Western Civilizations, a 6th edition, a Norton publication. Rather interesting book. You know, I not only like to read these books, but then as we always teach here, you listen to everybody, read anything, but then you have to prove everything in your own research before you believe it. So I've been doing a little bit of companion studies on the internet using the various and sundry browsers available to me, and I'm finding this fellow and this book quite interesting. If you'll go up and just do in a just do a search on it, browse it, and type in Edward McNall Burns, space Western Civilizations, plural, you'll come up with a pretty good list. There's about 130,000 different things out there. But if you dig through the first page or two, where you'll find that you can buy a copy of this book for yourself in used books format, you'll also might be able to track out and find that you can get a teacher's guide, an instructor's manual, for the book as well, which I've already ordered one for myself. Sorry, I think it was the last one that was there. Nevertheless, I have ordered a copy of that myself so that I can get a little better handle on how this kind of material was presented on in academia. Another thing that I noticed was that there are very many different universities around the world, including Princeton and Columbia University and others in the United States, Berkeley, other places around the world in foreign countries where this book is used in either a Humanities 101, a History 101, or some other session along those lines. So we can see that for all of the years that this book has been in existence, it's been in circulation and it's been part of the teaching curricula. And with that in mind, we can understand the value of bringing out this information on a day-to-day basis where you're not having to spend thousands of dollars to get this information. We make it easy here on Oracle Broadcasting Network. All you have to do is turn up your monitors, kick back, and listen. Anyway, we'll be right back after this break, and we'll begin and resume our study on anarchism. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Now, of all the things that I was able to find, one of the things that's more useful for us is on the internet that I found a paper written by a gentleman named Daniel A. Segal, S-E-G-A-L, Western Civilizations and the Staging of History in American Higher Education. Lengthy article that he's written, lengthy, it looks like a treatise or a term paper. But anyway, I picked cherry-picked out the section that has to do with our study book here. Much the same story can be told about Edward McNall Burns' singularly successful text, he's only had one apparently, which appeared first in 1941 and which in a 12th edition remains in print today, and we're working out of the 6th. A member of the Rutgers University faculty from 1928 until his retirement in 1962, so this obviously was taught at Rutgers as well. Burns married in the spring of 1936 and promptly left on a honeymoon to Berlin and Moscow, destinations chosen so that he could examine in person the two isms, and of course that would be Nazism and Communism. Distraught by what he found, when Burns returned to New Brunswick, he commenced the writing of Western Civilizations. Burns proceeded without an advance, and with much less certainty of financial payoff than do authors today. So we can see that Burns was proceeding along the same line that we, myself, the other hosts on Oracle take as well. Burns began writing this textbook without any advance money and basically just doing it out of his own charity, if you will, for the world. For Burns, Western Civilizations was unquestionably a calling. And then they have a photo here, which was not available for electric reproduction. The passport photo of Edward and Marie Burns obtained for a honeymoon trip in 1936 to travel to Berlin and Moscow. Sites chosen in order that they could study the two isms and so on. Dropping down and locating these textbooks and thus the emergence of the Western Civ Survey course in the context of interwar anxieties about civilization's fate illuminates elements of these texts and courses that have gone undetected, or at least unmentioned in recent circular or curricular debates. To begin with, in seeking to write or write, there's two ways he's got it written here. One is to write it, and the other is to write civilization. The authors of these texts urged a steadfast allegiance to a lineage of rationality, science, and civilization that, in their view, transcended contemporary strife, particularisms, and inhumanity. As a rule, these texts were avowedly, catch this now, internationalist, cosmopolitan, and secular. Burns himself, for instance, had once joined an organization that advocated a single world government as the most rational approach to resolving human conflicts. In introducing the first edition of his text, he declared that, quote, all progress has resulted from the growth of intelligence and tolerance, and therein lies the chief hope for a better world in the future, close quote. Moreover, while the authors of these works were oblivious to the ways their cosmopolitanism, internationalism, and secularism were exclusionary and local, they offered a vision of North America's past that was, within specific limits, more inclusive than that of contemporary nativist and exceptionalist narratives. For example, by virtue of its marked secularism, Western civilization in these texts was something other than and something displacing of Christian civilization. It was inclusive of North American and European Jewry, though notably in a manner that displaced religion in the background, in contrast to the emerging notion of a Judeo-Christian tradition. Again, an emerging notion of a Judeo-Christian tradition. Continuing, in addition, these textbooks presented civilization, quote-unquote, to students as the product of a long tradition of rational inquiry that through education they could join. In these texts, civilized status was not thus a privilege of birth and blood. In both these ways, the grand narrative of these textbooks offered a welcoming tale for the first-generation college students whose numbers were swelling enrollments at and bringing religious and social class diversity to U.S. colleges and universities between the world wars. None of this is to deny that these texts were saturated by Eurocentrism. It is instead to suggest that Eurocentrism, rather than being a self-evident expression of U.S. patriotism or any similarly simple reflection of power, was itself a historical phenomena, possessed of meanings and motives that are easily lost in retrospect. And then in the footnotes, he goes on and says that Burns authored 8 editions of the Western Civilizations before his death in 1972. So we have his birth, his marriage, and his death. The publisher, W.W. Norton, subsequently lined up 2 new authors, Robert Lerner and Standish Meekum, to revise the book. Meekum interviewed by the author by telephone on September the 2nd, 1997. Donald Lamb, discussions with the author autumn of 1998, and so on. Eleanor Burns Lawson, the daughter of Edward McDowell Burns, interviewed by the author, tape recording. These are just footnotes. No biography of Burns exists. The narrative given here is primarily on my interviews with his daughter. It's also informed by my discussions with Don Lamb, the extant correspondence between Burns and his editors at Norton, which are housed at the W.W. Norton Collection Rare Book and Manuscript Library at Columbia University, and a telephone interview in August of 1997 with Henry Winkler, who was a colleague of Burns at Rutgers, as well as my examination of Burns' published writings. On the increased cosmopolitanism and secularism of American intellectuals from the 1930s through the 1960s, see David A. Hollinger, Science, Jews, and Secular Studies, so on and so forth. So these are some of the things that we're bringing to the table. When we study these books, it's kind of important to understand. Here's another one. One more footnote here. Mark Silk, Notes on the Judeo-Christian Tradition in America, from the American Quarterly, issue number 36, 1984, pages 65 to 85. If you want to start finding out a little bit about how that Judeo-Christian tradition in America started creeping in. There are reasons for the season, as I like to say, there's a method behind my madness. One of the reasons why I like to cut off research in about the 1960s, most of my library is pre-1960 in publication dates, although there are considerable that are newer than that. But most of them are prior to 1960, and there's lots of reasons for that. One of them, of course, is the free speech movement. That's important. Number two, as the civil rights momentum that was going on there, the emergence of the Lyndon Baines Johnson Great Society period, the heavy influence up until that time of the positivists, both the logical positivists and the political and philosophical positivists, the descendants of all of those that came after Auguste Comte invented the system, developed the systems. Anyway, there's a reason for all of this. And then in the post-1960s today, much of what has been written, in my opinion, from academia has been to support this great society move and the social democracy that has been inculcated amongst us. Again, also, we're looking at the roll-up between these world wars. And that's a very important time period because many people were brought to the United States of America before, during, and after the Worldwide War I and Worldwide War II. And they were brought here for the purpose of basically fulfilling the great work on this continent. So having accomplished their goals in Eastern Europe and in Western Europe and in the Near East and in the Middle East and in the Far East, many of them came home to roost. So let's go back in. We're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. We have passed through the Persians and all of that. We've gone through Egypt and Mesopotamia and the various generations there. And now we're in the land of the Hebrews. We're in Palestine and Canaan and that. Let's look at the Hebrew culture. Let's see. Should I start right there? Or should I pick something up in review? Let's just go ahead and say I'll pick a little bit of a review and bring it in from what we left off yesterday. The final significant stage in the Hebrew religious evolution was the post-exilic stage or the period of Persian influence. And this period may be considered to have covered the years from 539 to about 300 B.C. Very important. I can say a lot about that. I'll just pass. Just give you those dates. From about 539 to about 300 B.C. Very little, by the way, came out of the Hebrew culture, the Hebrew religionist, if you will, 300 B.C. to zero. Perhaps enough has been said already to indicate the character of the influence from Persia. In other words, we've already gone through and pointed out all of the various influences upon the development of the Hebrew faith that came out of the Persia. And we'll pick that up right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we are back again, looking at the chat room. There's a lot of depravity out there in the world these days. Oh, my. But depravity is nothing new. It's been with us forever. So let's go on and look at a little bit more of this depravity. Perhaps enough has already been said to indicate the character of the influence upon the Hebrews from Persia. It will be recalled from the preceding chapter that Zoroastrianism was a dualistic, messianic, otherworldly, and esoteric religion. In the period following the exile, these very ideas gained wide acceptance among the Jews. They adopted a belief in Satan as the great adversary and the author of evil. They developed an eschatology, which including such notions as the coming of a spiritual savior, the resurrection of the dead, and a last judgment. They turned their attention to salvation in an afterworld as more important than the enjoyment of this life. And lastly, they embraced the conception of a revealed religion. The book of Ezekiel, for example, was asserted to have been prepared by God in heaven and given to the man whose name it bears with instructions to, quote-unquote, eat it. In time, the idea grew that many other books had been dictated directly by Yahweh to certain of his followers. With the adoption of beliefs such as these, the Hebrew faith had evolved far from the strict monotheism and the simple ethical religion of the days of the prophets. Let's continue here. This is a section under Hebrew culture. Remember, the reason why we're going through all of this is to understand what is an anarch, what is anarchy, what has become known as anarchism, etc., and why, and is it important for us? And I think if we can rightly understand this whole concept, then we will be able to understand more the fear that is coming down the pike from the Department of Homeland Security and the Congress and the ADL and the Southern Poverty Defense Fund, or what do they call it? Southern Poverty Defense League? Morris Lee and the bunch. Anyway, we'll understand a lot of this legislation better if we can understand why they fear anarchy and anarchism so much. Hebrew culture, in certain respects, the Hebrew genius was inferior to that of some of the great nations of antiquity. In the first place, it revealed no talent for science. Not a single important discovery in any scientific field has ever been traced to the ancient Hebrews. Nor were they particularly adept in appropriating the knowledge of others. They could not build a bridge or a tunnel except of the crudest of sorts. whether it was from a lack of interest in these things or whether it was because of too deep an absorption in religious affairs is not clear. In the second place, they seem to have been almost entirely devoid of artistic skill. Their only examples of the glyptic arts were engraved seals similar to those made by the Sumerians and the Hittites, and used for the purpose of affixing signatures. They had no architecture, sculpture, or painting worthy of mention. The famous temple at Jerusalem, or Yethrusalem, or New Salem, was not a Hebrew building at all, but a product of Phoenician skill. For Solomon imported artisans from Tyre to finish the more complicated tasks. It was rather in law, literature, and philosophy that Hebrew genius was most perfectly expressed. Although all of these subjects were closely allied with religion, they did have their secular aspects. The finest example of Jewish law was the Deuteronomic Code, which forms the core of the book of Deuteronomy. Despite claims of its great antiquity, it was probably an outgrowth of the prophetic revolution. It was based in part upon an older code of the covenant, which was derived in considerable measure from the laws of the Canaanites and the old Babylonians in general. Its provisions were more enlightened than those of the Hammurabi's code, but one of them enjoined liberality to the poor and the stranger. Another commanded the Hebrew slave who had served for 6 years should be freed and insisted that he must not be sent away empty. A third provided that judges and other officers should be chosen by the people and forbade them to accept gifts or to show partiality in any form. A fourth condemned witchcraft, divination, and necromancy. A fifth denounced the punishment of children for the guilt of their fathers and affirmed the principle of individual responsibility for sin. A sixth prohibited the taking of interest of any kind on a loan made by one Jew to another. A seventh required that at the end of every 7 years there should be a release of debts. Quote, every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, save when there shall be no poor among you, close quote. And that's out of Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 4. And from that we get our discussion on the Jubilee. And we also understand more about forgiving the debts or repudiation of national debt. Let's continue from there. As one would expect from the circumstances out of which it grew, a cardinal purpose of the Deuteronomic Code was to infuse into Jewish society a more democratic and equalitarian character. Its authors were not interested in abstract principles. For example, they did not condemn slavery as a wrong in itself. They sought merely to prevent the permanent enslavement of Jews. Nevertheless, it is undeniably true that this code did not provide for more political and social democracy than the laws of any other Oriental nation except Egypt. They don't like to be called Oriental. They're all white now, right? I think Doug Owen reported on that on his news segment, this transition, this morphing of the words found in the Texas census material. Everybody's white now. Everybody. All right, so continuing then, they go, even the king himself was forbidden to accumulate great wealth or to indulge in ostentatious luxury. No military despotism of the Assyrian or Babylonian type was to be tolerated. The king was not above the law, but very definitely subject to it. He was required to have constantly with him a copy of the code and to, quote, read thereon or therein all the days of his life, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren and that he turn not aside from the commandment, close quote. And we're going to find more of this as we proceed further into a study of this world civilizations. I don't know how much further and deeper we'll go. We've just about gotten to the time period, but we may go further. And as you go into the various civilizations and into all of the law and bring it all the way into the common law in England and then into our own law, you'll find that a lot of this was in the founder's mind when they created this system of government we have here and the various and sundry laws that followed. But let's continue. Moreover, his power and that of his officers was strictly limited. This is the leader. The administration of justice was left almost entirely in the hands of the people. In cases of disputed guilt, the elders of the city would decide, but the punishment provided in the code would be inflicted by the family of the victims or by the community at large, and we'll see that as a continuation for thousands of years. In other words, it wasn't until recently that the courts assumed all of the responsibility of punishing the guilty. Now, of course, they just take all of the fines and all of the fees and they gather it up unto themselves, and your only sense of victory in any of these wrongs that are done to you is just knowing that the other guy got whacked, right? But you don't get much for compensation. Continuing, the conscription of labor for foreign service was also prohibited, and exemption from military duty was required to be granted to the man who had built a new house, planted a new vineyard, or married a new wife. How'd you like to get out of the military like William Jefferson Clinton or Jorge Bush, just because you had built a new house or planted a vineyard or married a new wife? And even to the man who was fearful and faint-hearted, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his own. Perhaps Clinton and Bush were just faint of heart. The literature of the Hebrews was by far the best that the ancient Orient ever produced. So we can see that they're mostly writers here, more than builders, if you will. Mostly writers. And it continues almost till today. You know, they really, modern Jewry really would just as soon not be involved in things like plumbing and carpentry and all that. Old Rabbi Yaakov Spivak on his broadcast that he used to do, this Torah University of the Air on WBCQ, to talk about how it was so difficult in a Jewish community to find a plumber. Nearly all of it is now extant, is preserved in the Old Testament. Okay? Catch that. Nearly all of it now extant is preserved in the Old Testament and in the books of the so-called Apocrypha. And if you haven't read the Apocrypha, by the way, when you read the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the King James Version, the Apocrypha, you know, the one that was sponsored by and approved by King James of England, the Apocrypha was sewn right into the middle of the book. Today you have to go for another book and find it. We will be back on the other side of this break. Stay with us and we'll continue our lesson in world civilization.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Tuesday, May the 12th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour here this morning. We come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. Visit us on the website, oraclebroadcasting.com. Look at all the various clicks you can do on the left side of the homepage. Consider becoming an Oracle member, getting a copy of the newsletter sent to you on a regular basis, subscribe to the high-speed archives, internet streams, and all of that. Wow. Get your doggy t-shirt, your Oracle doggy tee, and your golf tee, and all the rest of those things right there on the OracleBroadcasting.com homepage. My name again is William Roberts, and we're going through a study here. This is, we found in the first hour, Western Civilizations. This textbook that we're referring to was written by an Edward McNall Burns, being the roll-up between World War I, World War II, in the 1940s and thereabouts, and it has endured through many, many generations, if you will, revisions or editions, as one of the most often or the go-to textbook on this subject. So we're blessed in the opportunity to study from it. If you were to go to Princeton or perhaps Yale or Columbia or University of California, Berkeley, or some of the other places around or anywhere around the world, if you go up and do your browser on it, you'll find that this is a textbook that has been used a lot all around the world. And so let's go back and use it a little bit more. But, of course, in our homeschool classroom, our internet homeschool classroom, all you need to do is just to prop your feet up, sit back and listen, take notes, and then access the archives. We're not going to charge you by the credit hour here. Let's continue. Isn't it a shame? Such as knowledge comes freely, that it is altogether often sold to the neophytes. That's a little bit more of the mystery religions of Universitatis. We'll look into that as well in this course. But continuing, continuing again, the literature of the Hebrews was by far the best that the ancient Orient ever produced. Nearly all of it now extant is preserved in the Old Testament and in the books of the so-called Apocrypha. Very interesting reading those books in the Apocrypha. Very interesting reading indeed, and there gives you a pretty good idea of the kind of mayhem that the Hebrew boys were visiting upon one another at the time when their outer neighbors decided that they'd had just about enough of this torment, and they called in the Romans, and the Romans came in and quelled the rebellion, if you will. And that pretty much brought an end to their whole program. Continuing here, Scholars now recognize that the Old Testament was built up mainly through a series of collections and revisions or redactions in which the old and the new fragments were merged and generally assigned to an ancient author, Moses, for example, or Moshe, as they teach. But the oldest of these redactions was not prepared any earlier than 850 B.C., not any earlier. The majority of the books of the Old Testament were of even more recent origin, with the exception, of course, of certain of the Chronicles. As one would logically expect, the philosophical books were of late authorship. You know, there's a lot of stories about how the Torah came into existence, the Pentateuch, that Alexander, at the time he was building his library, became aware of the writing of the Hebrews or their faith, and he requested that they would come and write out their material so that they could include it in the great library in Alexandria or Philadelphia. And they agreed, and apparently they sent 70 Rebbe, and in 70 days they wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. And so that's the story, and whether it's true or not, we'll have to depend upon history to find out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again right here on Tuesday, May the 12th, in our second hour of today's broadcast. We're deep into this Hebrew civilization. We're studying the world civilizations or the civilizations of the world and their various cultures and how these various religions, the priests, kings, and all of that, then went on to shape the lives of the people that they ruled over. And so we can understand more about what it is to be an anarch. Let's go into this and continue. Although the bulk of the Psalms were ascribed to King David, a good many of them actually refer to events of the captivity. It seems certain that the collection as a whole was the work of several centuries. Most recent of all were the books of Ecclesiastes, Esther, and the Apocrypha, or the books of doubtful religious authority. Did not see the light of day until Hebrew civilization was almost extinct. Probably didn't think that the Hebrew civilization was extinct, but it is. Some, like the Maccabees 1 and 2, relate even of the 2nd century BC. Others, including the Wisdom of Solomon and the Book of Enoch, were written under the influence of Greco-Oriental philosophy. Something borrowed, something new, something old, and something very, very blue. Not all of the writings of the Hebrews had high literary merit. A considerable number were dull, repetitious chronicles. Nevertheless, most of them, whether in the form of battle song, prophecy, love lyric, or drama, were rich in rhythm, concrete images, and emotional vigor. Few passages in any language can surpass the scornful indictment of social abuses voiced by the prophet Amos. Well, I'll spare you the verses. It's a lengthy quote here. Dropping down a little further, we talk about the book of Job, and we've mentioned that before. Few authorities would deny that the supreme achievement of the Hebrew literary genius was the book of Job. In form, the work is a drama of tragic struggle between man and fate. Its central theme is the problem of evil. Evil. How it can be that the righteous suffer while the eyes of the wicked stand out with fatness. We can see that today, don't we? How the righteous suffer and the eyes of the wicked stand out with fatness. Hogs in the trough. The story was an old one, adapted very probably from a Babylonian writing of similar content, but the Hebrews introduced it into a much deeper realization of philosophical possibilities. The main character, Job, a man of unimpeachable virtue, is suddenly overtaken by a series of disasters. He is despoiled of his property, his children are killed, and his body is afflicted with a painful disease. His attitude at first is one of stoic resignation. The evil must be accepted along with the good. But as his sufferings increased, he is plunged into despair. He curses the day of his birth and delivers an apostrophe to death, where, quote, the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. Here's full rest in peace. Anno Domini pasta linguini. Then follows a lengthy debate between Job and his friends over the meaning of evil. The latter take the traditional Hebraic view that all suffering is a punishment for sin and that those who repent are forgiven and strengthened in character. But Job is not satisfied with any of their arguments. Torn between hope and despair, he strives to review the problem from every angle. He even considers the possibility that death may not be the end, that there may be some adjustment of the balance hereafter. But the mood of despair returns and he decides that God is an omnipotent demon destroying without mercy wherever his caprice or anger directs him. Finally, in his anguish, he appeals to the Almighty to reveal himself and make known his ways to man. God answers him out of the whirlwind with a magnificent exposition of the tremendous works of nature. Convinced of his own insignificance and the unutterable majesty of God, Job despises himself and repents in dust and ashes. In the end, no solution is given of the problem of individual suffering. No promise is made of recompense in a life hereafter, nor does God make any effort to refute the hopeless pessimism of Job. Man must take comfort in the philosophic reflection that the universe is greater than himself, and that God, in the pursuit of his sublime purposes, cannot really be limited by human standards of equity and goodness. Pretty long paragraph, but a good summary of the book, having read both this book and Job. As philosophers, the Hebrews surpassed every other people before the Greeks, with the possible exception of the Egyptians. Now, while they were not brilliant metaphysicians and constructed no great theories of the universe, they did concern themselves with most of the problems relating to the life and destiny of man. Their thought was essentially personal rather than abstract, and probably the earliest of their writings of a distinctly philosophical character were the Old Testament book of Proverbs and the apocryphal book of Ecclesiasticus. In their final form, both were of late composition, but much of the material they contained was doubtless quite ancient. Not all of it was original, for a considerable portion had been taken from Egyptian sources, especially from the writings of Amenemope. It's hard to say. It could be Amen, M-O-P, but it's clearly Amen. Amen. Could ask you to tell me the first word in the Bible and the last word in the Bible? Who can do that? It's a quiz question. The philosophy of the Proverbs and Ecclesiasticus is not very profound and may be considered as representing the mental adolescence of the Hebrew nation. It is almost entirely ethical, but its appeal is primarily to prudential considerations, not to the will of God or to any absolute standards of right and wrong. Of course, you're going to need to understand this material to be able to understand the next 2,000 years of history, because so much of it was shaped by these various writings. as it was infused into the West. It has as its essential teachings, be temperate, diligent, wise, and honest, and you will surely be rewarded with prosperity, long life, and a good name among men. Only in such isolated passages as the following is any recognition given to higher motives of sympathy or respect for the rights of other. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth its maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Close quote. A much more profound and critical philosophy is contained in Ecclesiastes, an Old Testament book, not to be confused with the apocryphal Ecclesiasticus mentioned above. The author of Ecclesiastes is unknown. In some way, it came to be attributed to Solomon or Kohelis, but he certainly did not write it, for it includes doctrines and forms of expression unknown to the Hebrews for hundreds of years after his death. Modern critics date it to no earlier than the 3rd century B.C. The basic ideas of its philosophy may be summarized as follows. Now we're going to give 5 primary points. And again, when we look at this kind of material and we try and wrap our minds around these concepts, these have had a tremendous impact on the development of Western civilizations. Certain elements of these various 5 forms or ideas of philosophy just about brought the world to an end. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
They say you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Okay, and we're back once again. So we've got these basic ideas of philosophy from the Hebrew boys that may be summarized as follows. And listen carefully to these because they had a tremendous impact. When I say it almost brought the world to an end, at least it altered the way people were thinking, certainly that. And you'll understand more as we go through these. Number one, mechanism. The universe is a machine that rolls on forever without evidence of any purpose or goal. On and on and on. And the big winged beast stamps its standard and says, "All rise and hail the king," and everybody gets up and throws their little crowns at the feet of the guy with the beard. And then they hail the king, and then they rush over and pick up their little crowns, and they get back up onto their thrones in the white room there and smooth out their garments and sit down. And then the beast stamps his big standard and flutters his wings, and everyone throws their crowns at the feet of the king, and they obeisant, you know, and then they go get their crowns, and they get back up in their chairs, and they smooth out their garments, and they sit, and the winged angel does it again, and it goes on and on and on forever. That's supposed to be heaven. Let's go into this. There is nothing new under the sun, no progress, merely endless repetition of the past, sunrise and sunset. Birth and death are but separate phases of a constantly recurring cycle. That's a basic tenet there. It's an idea. It's a mechanism. Here's number two. Fatalism. Man is a victim of the whims of fate. There's no necessary relation between effort and success. Quote, "The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Close quote. Fatalism. You can't fight City Hall. Might as well give up. It's all over now. Here's the third tenet. Skepticism. Knowledge of ultimate things is impossible. There is no evidence of any soul or any life after death. Men and beasts are alike. Quote, "All are of the dust and all turn to dust again." Close quote. Skepticism. Here's number four. Pessimism. Pessimism. All vanity is a vexation, and all is vanity and a vexation of spirit. Fame, riches, extravagant pleasures are snares and delusions in the end. Although wisdom is better than folly, even it is not a sure key to happiness, for an increase in knowledge brings a keener awareness of suffering. Only a good name and joy in the work of one's hands are much to be prized. Pessimism. And then moderation. Extremes of asceticism and extremes of indulgence are both to be avoided. Quote, "Be not righteous overmuch, be not much wicked. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Close quote. And so we can see there's a lot to that. But mechanism, fatalism, skepticism, pessimism, and moderation had an incredible influence in the centuries that followed. Let's go into this a little bit. The magnitude of the Hebrew influence. The influence of the Hebrews, like that of most of the other Oriental nations, has been chiefly religious and ethical. While it is true that the Old Testament has served as a source of inspiration for much of the literature and the art of the Renaissance and early modern civilizations, this has resulted largely because the Bible was already familiar material as part of the religious heritage. The same explanation can be applied to the use of the Old Testament as a source of law and political theory by the Calvinists in the 16th century and by many other Christians both before and since. We're dealing with some political realism in all of this and some theological realism in all of this, and we know that this author had a bit of a bias. I've read a little bit of the only extant bio that I've been able to find of the gentleman. But he was trying to be a historical revisionist in the sense that he was presenting history as one of the first that were basically presenting it neutral as far as religions and things were concerned. A certain neutrality, and I like the way that he does this. because he's showing us how all of these various influences then went on to shape public opinion, and of course public opinion shapes law. And we've studied that under Albert Van Dicey and others. So continuing, these facts do not mean that the Hebrew influence has been slight. On the contrary, the history of nearly every Western civilization during the past 2,000 years would have been radically different without the heritage from Israel. Isis, Ra, and El. For it must be remembered that Hebrew beliefs were among the principal foundations of Christianity. But I have to underline and underscore. They were among the principal foundations. Many stones to hold that building up. The relationship between the two religions is frequently misunderstood. The movement inaugurated by Jesus of Nazareth is commonly represented as a revolt against Judaism. But such was only partly the case. Now, if you remember in our study of anarchism, we found here in Mark 10 and 42 and Romans 15 and 12, we hear this Mark 10 and 42 to 44. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, this is red letter out of the King James, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over, there's your archons, the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and that their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you will be the chiefest, and shall be your minister of all, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. And so we go back here to our text, with that in mind, in our study of anarchism, and we can see again the words written by McNall. Burns here, Edward. The movement inaugurated by Jesus of Nazareth is commonly represented as a revolt against Judaism. And when we understand this word, the archons, as basically the rulers of the synagogue of Satan, then we can set a better understanding here. But he, then our author, says, but such was only partly the case. So we had knowledge to knowledge here. On the eve of the Christian era, the Jewish nation had come to be divided into three main sects. Not sex. I'm not talking about Aleister Crowley here. Do as thou wilt, for it's this whole of the law. We'll talk about the sects. S-E-C-T-S. A majority sect of the Pharisees and two minority sects of the Sadducees and the Essenes. Now everybody has heard of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They're documented well and thoroughly in the Bible. But few understand who the Essenes were. Having done a little inquiry into it myself, one of the quarters of the Temple Mount there was the Essene quarter, and it is where the high priest lived. I've always thought that it would be possible for a foot runner, if they had a path down and around and about, to run back and forth between Qumran and the Temple Mount and make the round trip in a day without too much trouble if you were fit and ready to run. So it would be pretty handy for the Essenes to have their system set up down below and their emissaries, if you will, or their quarter up above. Continuing, the Pharisees represented the middle classes and some of the better educated common folk. They believed in the resurrection, in rewards and punishments after death, and in the coming of a political Messiah. Intensely nationalistic, they advocated participation in government and faithful observance of the ancient ritual. We'll have to pick up those ancient rituals and the Pharisees on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we're back again, and we're looking into these three different sects of these Hebrews, the Jewish nation. And, you know, this is pretty much post-exilic stuff. This is the the development of the post-diaspora, I meant to say. And so there's a lot to be understanding here, where we went from 12 tribes down in as far as the myth historemia of their people is concerned, went from the 12 tribes down, and we're basically just dealing with Judah, Benjamites, and Levi, and all of the tribes had some of the Levites with them. They were supposed to be the priests, apparently. But anyway, let's continue here. They regarded all parts of the law. We're talking about the Pharisees. They believed in the resurrection and rewards and punishments after death and in the coming of a political Messiah. Intensely nationalistic, they advocated participation in government and a faithful observance of the ancient ritual. They regarded all parts of the law as of virtually equal importance, whether they applied to matters of ceremony or to obligations of social ethics. Social ethics. Representing altogether different strata of the society, the minority sect disagreed with the Pharisees on both religious and political issues. The Sadducees, they were sad, you see. The Sadducees, including the priests and the wealthier classes, were most famous for their denial of the resurrection and of rewards and punishments in an afterlife. They were sad, you see. Although temporarily, at least, they favored the acceptance of Roman rule, their attitude toward the ancient law was even more inflexible than that of the Pharisees. They were fair, you see. But thirdly, there was the sect of Essenes, the smallest of them all, and was probably the most influential. Remember, they had a quarter. They had a quarter in Jerusalem. Its members, who were drawn from the lower classes, practiced asceticism and preached otherworldliness as means of protest against the wealth and the powers of the priests and the rulers. Now we're getting into the heart of anarchy and anarch. Again, they regarded government with indifference and refused to take oaths under any conditions. They were far from being fanatical patriots. They emphasized the spiritual aspects of religion rather than the ceremonial. And they stressed particularly the immortality of the soul, the coming of a religious messiah. See, it's different from the Pharisees. They were looking for a political messiah. They emphasized the spiritual aspects, blah, 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 continuing. Where did I lose my place? They regarded government with indifference and refused to take oaths under any conditions. They emphasized the spiritual aspects of religion rather than the ceremonial and stressed particularly the immortality of the soul, the coming of a religious messiah, and the early destruction of the world. And I'm going to tell you that there's been a lot of hay made out of this idea of the early destruction of the world, the book of Revelation and all of that. Their most noted member appears to have been John the Baptist, though he later repudiated the sect on the ground that it was preparing only its own followers and not the nation as a whole for the coming of the Messiah, or Mashiach. It was he who provided an apparent link between the Essenes and the early Christians. Until recently, scholars were dependent for their knowledge of the Essenes almost entirely upon secondary sources. But in 1947, an Arab shepherd unwittingly opened the way to one of the most spectacular discoveries of documentary evidence in world history and put a period at the end of that sentence and realized that our author was alive and writing and developing subsequent revisions of this text at the time that this discovery was found. His first publication date being 1941. And so it was 6 years after that this Arab shepherd unwittingly opened the way to one of the world's most spectacular discoveries, evidentiary evidence. Searching for a lost sheep on the western shore of the Dead Sea, he threw a stone that entered a hole in the rocks and made such a peculiar noise that he ran away in fright. He returned, however, with a friend to investigate and discovered a cave in which were stored about 50 cylindrical earthen jars stuffed with writings on leather scrolls. Studied by scholars, the scrolls revealed the existence of a monastic community which flourished from about 130 BC to 67 AD. Its members lived a life of humility and self-denial, holding their goods in common, and devoting their time to prayer and sacraments and to the studying and copying of biblical texts. They looked forward confidently to the coming of a Messiah, the overthrow of evil, and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. That they belonged to the sect of Essenes seems almost beyond question. These are known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're now on display in an underground vault at the Hebrew University. Again, this book was published in 1960. The oldest extant example of Hebrew religious literature, they furnish us with the evidence of the activities of the Essenes and perhaps other mystical and otherworldly sects about the beginning of the Christian era. And if you haven't taken the time to study them, there are various publications out there. From time to time, new material is translated and released. Some of it, as always and to be expected, is hidden and kept back away from us. But such as has been published is quite illuminating. And if you'll take the time and read it, you might find that there are things there that will help your understanding of the Bible, but also the understanding of this religion and of the time period and the struggle that was going on there between the Brotherhood of Light and the Brotherhood of Darkness and the Evil Ones and all of that. It's worthwhile to read it. Indeed, many Christians regard, all branches of Judaism except the Sadducees strongly influenced the development of Christianity. all the branches except the Sadducees, because they were Sadducee. They strongly influenced the development of Christianity. Indeed, many Christians regard their religion as the completion and the fulfillment of the religion of the Jews. And from Jewish sources, Christianity obtained its cosmogony, or the theory of the origin of the universe. And if you were listening to Sean and Mystic have their debate the other evening and the other callers, you can see that that debate continues all the way to today. There are some things that have been given for us to know, and there are some things we know not. And everyone has an opinion, but opinions are altogether too much like elbows. We're born with more than one, and they're easily bent to suit the purpose at hand. Jesus himself, and we have to take it in some measure of faith that there was such a person. It's very difficult outside of the Bible text and some of the extant things to verify his presence. Much has been studied on that. I was in communication with Dr. Elliot Lesser for years. He's written some very good books looking into the various controversies in the Bible. Of course, you can listen to others, Dr. Dino and others, and so there's two sides of this argument, and both sides are convincing, and you need to listen carefully. We listen to everyone, we read anything, and then we set about proving things in our own research before we take it on our own. But continuing, Jesus himself, although he condemned the Pharisees for their legalism and hypocrisy, did not repudiate all of their tenets, and this you'll only find in the Bible, I believe. Like them, he revered the prophets, believed in rewards and punishments after death, and considered the Jewish people the chosen of God. Instead of abolishing the ancient law, as he's popularly supposed to have done, he demanded its fulfillment, insisting, however, that it should not be made part of an essential part of the religion. To what extent the beliefs and practices of the Christian religion were molded by the more radical Judaism of the Essenes is a question whose answer must await further research. Perhaps the fundamental influence was slight. Nonetheless, we know that many early Christians practiced asceticism, regarded government with indifference, held all their goods in common, and believed in the imminent end of the world. Of course, what is imminent? And what is time? Obviously, 2,000 years hence is not exactly imminent, but nevertheless, we'll give it to them. These parallels do not mean, of course, that Christianity was a mere adaptation of beliefs and practices emanating from Judaism. On account of various factors, there was much in it that was unique. But that is a subject which can be discussed more conveniently in other connections, and we'll go there in this book, perhaps. The ethical and political influence of the Hebrews has also been substantial. Their moral conceptions have been a leading factor in the development of the negative approach towards ethics, which has prevailed for so long in Western countries. For the early Hebrews, righteousness, quote-unquote, consisted primarily in the observance of taboo. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we are back. Very interesting stuff going on in the chat room, folks. If you're not in the chat room, you might want to drop in there while there's still time today in this broadcast. So, anywho, let us continue on. We're almost finished with this particular section. And I'd like to get into the Hittites. Perhaps we'll do that tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we're going to have a special guest come and join us and tell us all about how to set up an AM micro broadcasting system. We'll have Jim Berryman on as a guest, and we'll spend a full 2 hours picking his mind and getting on the map, so to speak, so that we can spread the word of truth further and further through the network of micros and low-power FM broadcasting systems all across America, with so many different precincts, 177,000 different local voting precincts. It would be a blessing indeed, and a very strong move to put micros in every one of them so that we become the media in this decade, as opposed to the also-rans. But nevertheless, let's go back in again and look at this. We're talking at this point about the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and what we've been able to learn about the Essenes and how that fits into this, to what the extent of the beliefs and practices of the Christian religion were molded by the more radical Judaism of the Essenes, again, is a question whose answer must await further research. The ethical and political influence of the Hebrews has also been substantial. Their moral conceptions have been a leading factor in the development of the negative approach toward ethics, negative law, thou shalt not, which has prevailed for so long in Western countries. It shaped the whole direction of law. Thou shalt not kill. Which has prevailed for so long in Western countries. For the early Hebrews, righteousness consisted primarily in the observance of taboos. Now, we're going to get into fetishism and taboos and things like that when we finally do turn our attention on Auguste Comte and his system of positive polity and his system of positive philosophy and his catechism of the positive religion, the universal religion of humanity, if you will. That's the titles I was digging for there mentally. And when we get into that, we'll find out how very similar to other religions this New World Order religion will actually be, written about back in the 1850s. Continuing here, although a positive morality of charity and social justice made rapid headway during the time of the prophets. This, in turn, was partly obscured by the revival of priestly influence in the period that followed. And this is the development of this ecclesiastical system, the priests. As a result, the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, which embraced the code of personal behavior for the Jew, came to be crammed with ritualistic prohibitions. With respect to political influence, the record is more impressive. Hebrew ideals of limited government, the sovereignty of law, and regard for the dignity and the worth of the individual have been among the major formative influences which have shaped the growth of modern democracy. It is now almost universally, key phrases being dropped in here, it is now almost universally recognized that traditions of Judaism contributed equally with the influence of Christianity and the Stoic philosophy in fostering recognition of the rights of man and in promoting the development of the free society. A big, powerful closing statement there by our author. Having now read almost all of these 1,083 pages of this book, this textbook, I know where he's going, and so I'm looking at some of the things that he's laying out here, and he's doing it very well. But no matter where we have to stop in this study, certainly we can't study the entire book. We've already covered 120 pages of it. But no matter where we have to stop, we can understand that there are things that have come before us. You know, we carefully research the history. Very carefully understand what has gone before us, what happened in the past. And then we look into the future, if we can, to the best of our powers of prophecy and discernment and all of the rest of that. And I would like to think that we are moving constantly in this American Revolution, if you will, constantly into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and less despotic control. Further and further away from absolutism. Of course, we're still a young country, and we're going through our growing pains, and we've got some real pukes that have seized power right now. But I don't believe it's a fait accompli. It's not over yet. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, they say, the opera. But there's this blending here. This Judaism contributed equally with the Stoic philosophies. And as we see that all of these Oriental despotisms and all these Oriental religions out of the Near and Middle East came out of the Nile Valley and out of the Euphrates and out of the Tigris and from all over that basin. Those were blended in with what was coming out of the Greeks. And of course, they were the Nordic and Alpine type people. And then Hellenistics, and we go into all of that soon in our study, the Greeks. And then that's added even up to the Zoroastrians, up to the, you know, higher Persians, up the north of that. And then we find it blended in with the, you know, the Angles, if you will, the Saxons. And then we find it blended in with others too. And we've got various and sundry forces coming from different places throughout all of Europe coming together and building and shaping their civilizations and their cultures, warring about, you know, raging about like a war, warring with each other, raging like a lion, whatever, however that verse goes. And as these civilizations raised up, they went through very, very similar problems. Problems that we're having in the United States today. Things that we can learn from the past and we can gain some wisdom from it. Things that we can see that didn't work well in the past, why are we doing it again? As I've often said, you know, the global controllers, the priest class, they seem to be like a small town football coach. No real offense to the small town football coaches. Some of the small towns seem to produce the best coaches, but the small town football coach that only knows one play. I know nothing about football, so I'll say the only play I know right up the middle for 3 yards. I guess you have to get 4 yards one of those times to get 10 out of it, but that's the idea. Or maybe you just punt. Maybe that's what they do. They go up 3 yards, they're always a yard short, and then they punt. So anyway, we blend all of these things together as we understand where we're going, because really and truly, unless we can think of a better solution, We'll accept the solution that's offered. This is the old Hegelian dialectic, the problem, the reaction, the solution, or the synthesis. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So I think it's time for us to start using our minds more than just regurgitoriums. We need to have some forward thinking. We'll find out more about that as we start to realize that there's been a vast difference in the educational process. We're no longer taught logic and rhetoric and those sorts of useful skills. Now we're just indoctrinated into this global citizenry thing. But surely at this time when this book was being written, this was one of those few last authors that were still writing with reason. And so he's got a lot to offer in these pages. It was a real find for me. At least I believe that. And I'm going to include this prominently in my own studies. Looks like there's lots of jumping off places. And he's tied together thousands of years of history in a timeline. When we talk about time. But time is really an illusion. Time is an illusion. In order for time to have any merit or any validity or any meaning whatsoever, there are three primary things that have got to be there. Without them, it's just meaningless. Dadaism. But this idea of time, what is it? In order for time to have any meaning and discussion and understanding, there has to be a point of beginning and a point of ending. If there is no point of beginning and there's no point of ending, then we're just talking about something that's eternal. If it's a point of beginning only and it goes on and on forward, it's eternity. If it's a point of end and it goes on and on infinitely, you know, not indefinitely, it goes on indefinitely into the past, then that's an eternity. With a point of beginning and a point of end, you can have something. There's something there. The next step you have to have is an observer. There has to be an observer, but the observer can change. You can change, you can pass baton from one observer to another. The third thing is a unit of measure, and the unit of measure is arbitrarily selected by the observer. If you don't have a point of beginning, you don't have a point of end, you don't have a unit of measure, an observer, you have no time. It's just an illusion. Folks, we'll be back. I'm out of time, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake. And stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.